Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Cindy Chavez here. Today is Tuesday, June the 12th, 2018, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Your first daily dose of happy for the day. We hope your week is off to a happy start. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff that is going on in our lives that are mostly good. You know, we try to keep things focused on the positive side. One of the things that I've been focusing on is that I've got a book signing to do tonight. We're going to be signing our book, Your Daily Dose of Happy, The Real Success Stories of the Law of Attraction, at the Buttonwood Theater down in Middletown, about 45 minutes from here this evening. And so that means that Louise and I will be there, Anne-Marie will be there, Mike will be there. All of us are co-authors of the book. So we're going to have four co-authors in one place doing a book signing.
Yay, that's exciting.
It is exciting. It's fun. It's going to be a good time, I'm sure. And I really don't know what kind of crowd to expect for this. I don't know if it's going to be small, large, in between, but I've got my 9 books that I can sell and autograph. So, you know, at least we've got some books to put out there. Hopefully they won't sell out completely. We'll leave people disappointed. I don't want that, but we're all ready to go.
That's fun. So where is it again? Just, you know, for listeners that may be local to you.
Yeah. If you're in Connecticut, it's in Middletown, Connecticut. It's right downtown in Middletown. I mean, you just go along the main street there, and if you're, like, coming from the Route 9 exit, I'm not sure exactly how many blocks. I'd say, like, you know, 3 or 4 blocks, something like that, would be on the left-hand side as you're coming up from Route 9. But, yeah, it's right there. You can't really miss it. And
What time is it happening?
You had to ask that. I was asking that question myself this morning. I think it's 7 p.m. do I have a quick place to check that? Well, yeah, I can probably go to their website. I imagine that Anne-Marie has that put on their events tab. Let me just go there while we're talking. I'll just see if it's – I'm sure it's listed. And I'm sure it'll tell me what time it is set for. I remember 7, but, hey, you never know. My memory isn't always the sharpest, shall we say.
well, that's exciting because –
it is.
It's always exciting to kind of put faces to names and,
oh yeah,
you know, to actually get to meet some of the people that were writing the stories and then to talk about the stories too. I'm sure there'll be, I can just imagine that the conversation is going to be very uplifting with lots of tellings of real success stories.
I'm sure it will be. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to hearing what stories audience members have to share. Because, I mean, it's not just about the book. It's like, you know, this is the kind of thing that goes on in all of our lives, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 100% of our thoughts all being, you know, all of us being influenced by those thoughts and how they play out over time through the law of attraction. So there's got to be some more stories out there. In fact, I want to collect some for the next book. And it is at 7 o'clock, by the way. I just checked it. It's running from 7 to 9. So
7 p.m. in Middletown, Connecticut. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So if you're anywhere near Middletown, come by and say hello. I'd love to meet you.
Yeah, that'd be great. I will not be there, but I'll be there in spirit.
Well, Louisiana is a bit of a commute.
It's kind of, yeah. I don't have a helicopter, so.
I think you need more like a jet plane for that one.
Yeah, it's a good hike, but I have full confidence that you guys are going to have a great time. So.
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, we're going to have a very good time. So how are things with you? I mean, do you have a good weekend and such?
We did. We had a really good weekend. Just, it was really nice. The rain held off for the most part. And we had nice weather and just got some planting done. And my son is a musician and an event organizer. And he organized in town a festival that was live music and lots of artists who were live painting and food, and the weather was perfect, and it was in this beautiful venue with just lots of beautiful grass and plants, and it was a lot of fun. So it was a success. So it's always nice when something that someone's been working towards and putting a lot of time and effort into, when it all comes together and is successful. So we kind of went and hung out at that festival for a little while.
Very nice.
Then some other things that were, you know, I was thinking about it this morning that the whole idea of creating a button or a castle, and we created a lot of buttons this weekend, and that was fun. Well, it was really funny. You know, we had the little mantra that we were playing with is I feel rich.
Yes, right. Yep.
Well, we started with a new one. We kind of let that one go for a while, you know, as one does, right? Just hyper-focused on something and then kind of stop focusing. And then I started saying, where did all this money come from? And we've been chuckling about it and having fun with it. But I had ordered some tea that I actually had forgotten about. The guy from the company emailed me and said he had just got back into the country or whatever, and that they were placing orders, and that there was one item that I ordered, which was this tea, that he said, as soon as I get back and we, you know, get it formulated, it'll be sent to you. And I said, okay, great. I kind of forgot all about it. So it arrived and I opened the box and there were two packages of tea.
Nice.
And I was like, did I order two? I never have before, I don't think. And I went back and looked at my order and I had just ordered one. And so I guess just because it had taken longer than they expected, they gave me an extra one.
Nice.
And then we had ordered some seeds for planting and we ordered six packages and five of them were the right seeds, but the six packet was like some black-eyed Susan seeds. So I guess he called and said, you know, I ordered six and only got five and one of the packages was wrong. Well, they sent him six more packages instead of just replacing the one package.
I sense a pattern here. Abundance keeps coming in and coming in and coming in.
Right. So we were talking about those two things and we were like, oh, wow. It's like these things keep happening. And we kept getting the best parking spots. And then we went to brunch and the waitress came over and said, oops, sorry, I didn't charge you for this and this. So it's on me. And it's like, we see a trend happening here. This is kind of fun. So that was, you know, just little things like that over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so much fun when that kind of thing happens because it makes you feel like, you know, the universe really does make sense and has your back. And you know you're in a good place because the same good thing happens over and over again.
Yeah, so that's fun. And, you know, and then the truth is that it's not always all good. We have challenges, you know, and I don't feel bad saying that. I know I realize in kind of law of attraction circles, sometimes people get real nervous, you know, when you start saying that things are, I'm making air quotes, you know, going wrong. I don't really think things go wrong, but we live on a planet where there are challenges and that's just, it is that we have challenges here. You can look around and see that that's the truth. And I don't know anybody who hasn't lived their life without a challenge of some sort at some time. So the goal is, you know, of course, to have to experience maybe not quite so many. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's not about perfection, but it is about improvement. And if we can keep improving, then, you know, we feel like lives are getting better and experience is getting better. So that's really what I aim for. I aim for, can I improve? Can I learn how to leverage LOA better? Can I, you know, learn to appreciate the stuff that I really like in life better and spend more time on that? Can I learn to really, you know, do those kinds of things? Because it's like Abraham says, they say you can't get it wrong, you'll never get it done, which I turn around to, you always get it right and the road goes on forever. Well, in that case, if the road goes on forever and you're always getting it right, you can't worry about ever having gotten it wrong. And every time that you get it righter, it's even better.
I love that you said that. You can't get it wrong, because I think that sometimes, you know, and even I was thinking about it, it's like even the title of the book that we put together, right? It's like success stories. But right. That doesn't mean that it's a failure if you're having a challenge. And I think that that's sometimes the way people see it. I know it reminds me of a time that I used to manage an office for a naturopathic doctor. And it's actually she and her husband were both the doctors there. And I was the office manager. And so I was very focused at that time on being healthy and doing healthy things and living in a healthy way. I'm still focused on that, of course. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to work one day and all of a sudden it's like I got a really bad head cold, but it sort of just hit me all at once. And as I felt it coming on and as I felt all those symptoms, I actually started feeling really depressed, like just really down, because I felt like, oh, I'm doing all these things to stay healthy. Mm. And here I am and I don't feel healthy at all. I feel terrible. And, you know, it's like I felt like a failure. And my boss, the doctor, came in and she was talking to me about it. And she said, Cindy, you know, whether you get a cold or an illness is not a mark of whether you're healthy or not. She said, it's how your body handles the cold or the illness when it comes.
That's true.
That's the test of how well, you know, you're going to handle it, how healthy your immune system is. So, you know, everybody gets colds. Like this doesn't mean anything. It just, see how your body handles it. And I was thinking about that in light of kind of parallel to when challenges come our way. You know, it's not about if a challenge comes our way. We live on planet Earth. Believe me, there's going to be some challenges. We get flat tires. We get sick. We have, you know, trees fall on houses sometimes. I mean, sometimes things happen. And it's how we handle it when it happens. It's the mindset that we pivot to when it happens. Now, it's not that it happened.
Does that mean that we can't attract stuff like that? I mean, we do attract it. It does happen because we are... I don't know anyone who is able to stay 100% positive 100% of the time. Everybody has bits of downtime. And, you know, so right. There are going to be times where we're not going to attract stuff we don't really want to attract. That's just part of being a human being. That's part of being a living source energy, you know, deliberate creator.
Right. And there are natural occurrences. You know, it's like, I know that we've had the discussion before and we've talked about, oh, let's stay away from these. And I think we're going to hit it this morning with our topic. It was like, let's stay away from these extreme circumstances, you know, but you know, I live in Louisiana and extreme circumstances are pretty commonplace. I mean, last summer we had a flood that there's one outlying part of my city. It's like it's another city, a small town that's, you know, right on the outskirts. And I think it was like 90% of this one area was completely devastated by this flood. And you say, yeah, well, those 10% people, they were having a positive vibration. No, the 10% lived on the hill. I mean, you know,
a good point.
I mean, there wasn't any escaping from it if you lived in that area. And I just can't believe that there's a, you know, sort of like Wallace Wattles talks about in his book, The Science of Getting Rich. He says, you know, it's not people that live all in a certain area that are rich, or it's not people that have a certain skin color that are rich, or it's not people that have an education. I mean, there's people with all different, right? And it's like, I have that sense of this. It's like, no, it's not that everyone in that little town has a bad vibration or, you know, a low vibration. I mean, the flood flooded the whole town. And I'm sure there were plenty of people, but how did they handle it? What did they do with it? Did it devastate them, you know, too, or were they able to find that focus and, you know, turn it into something better? So, you know, there are challenges and
challenges do happen and
they happen.
Those challenges come to us. I will maintain that we attract all the challenges. They do come at our beck and call, and we don't always do it consciously. In fact, I would say most often we don't do it consciously, but nevertheless, it still happens. And like you say, the real question isn't whether or not they're going to happen. The question is, how are you going to handle them when they come along?
Yeah.
Are you going to treat it as if, there's two factors here that I think are really important factors. One is, are you going to get involved in the blame game?
Yes.
Because that blame game, that will lead you to the worst possible conclusions no matter how you come at this.
Yes.
Just because you're engaged in the blame game. Trying to figure out, well, who's to blame? What's to blame? Well, no one's to blame. Well, everyone's to blame. Well, you know, you're blaming the victim. You're blaming this. No, just stop the blame. Every single conversation about blame will go in the wrong direction. It's just a guarantee. And the other side of it, of course, is victimhood. And that's also a big issue. That's an issue that I think affects a lot of people, in ways that they aren't really necessarily aware of all the time, but it's a big deal. And I can't say that understanding this stuff is easy. I can't say that it always works out the way I want it to, but nevertheless, I have a choice at all points in time as to whether or not I'm going to choose to feel victim-like. It's totally up to me.
Right. And even outside of law of attraction, even if we're not talking about, law of attraction ideas, the idea of victimhood and blame, it's always, a lower level of energy than responsibility. That's actually the next step up. And it's pretty easy. Now, it doesn't always feel easy when you're in,
Oh,
victim
not at
land.
all. Not at all.
Because but just the level of energy where we say, okay, I'm not at fault. This isn't my fault, but I am going to take responsibility for my own experience and pull myself up and do something that feels better. Plenty of people take that action even when they're not aware of law of attraction. It's just, okay, I'm tired of sometimes we're just tired. We're just tired of the conflict. We're tired of being a victim. I mean, I remember a point in my life, and I was not very LOA savvy at that point, but I was just tired of that level of victimhood. I just said, you know what? I'm going to change things. I'm tired of not taking responsibility, or I'm tired of blaming, this thing that's happened on everyone else, or whatever it is we do. And it's a big shift. I mean, things really start to change. They didn't just start to change in my life. I watch this all the time, right? As soon as someone says that they're going to just be the change, that they're going to take responsibility for what's going on. And that doesn't mean that you take on the blame.
No.
It's just responsibility.
I
I
had
heard it
personal experience
explained
with
one
it.
time, if the neighbor parks a bunch of junk cars next door and you look out and you can see them, it's not your fault that there's a big junk pile there that you have to look at. But if all you do is complain about it to yourself, that you have to look at this mess and that this eyesore is there and, on and on, then you're the victim and you're blaming the neighbor. But as soon as you say, okay, well, I don't want to look at these cars anymore, so I'm going to plant a hedge here full of beautiful flowers so I don't have to see that, then you've just taken responsibility.
That's right.
It's the energy that feels so different. I mean, it feels different in your body just to say, okay, what can I do? What can I do to change my experience?
And I've had quite a bit of experience directly with having attracted negative stuff into my life. It happened, it kind of came to a climax over the weekend, but I've mentioned on the show previously that I've been dealing with some knee issues since like mid-February. And I know I brought those on myself just because of various thought patterns I had. I can't say I can show you the exact path, but I know that it was happening. And in fact, just last week, I don't remember which podcast, one of us, we were talking about chronic pain, how chronic pain can make it very difficult to focus when you're trying to heal yourself, when you're trying to change your mindset, because you're constantly faced with the what is of that pain, right? Well, this past weekend, my knee froze up. I mean, literally, just I couldn't move it. I had no flexibility at all. I was racked with pain. It was constant pain, and I'm thinking, well, that there we go. Okay, we were talking about constant pain, and sure enough, there it is. I got it.
Yeah, I
Which
think it was us. We had a
was it you
subtitle
and
in the
me?
book.
Yeah.
How could
Okay.
someone feeling pain focus elsewhere? Yeah,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. So okay. Great. Well,
So how did
thank
you do
you.
it, Walt?
First, I said, thank you very much, universe, for reminding me that that's what I focused on. But no, well, it was actually a challenge. We've been using the word challenge. That was a real challenge. I needed to take it as an act. Well, I could have done it anyway. I could have just said, well, I'm a victim of this, or I could just, cried over it, or, just said, oh, well, I have to put up with it, or whatever. But I decided to use it as an opportunity to practice changing my mindset in the face of the pain, just like we talked about, and just
Yes.
refusing to focus on that pain. And it's not easy to do. I can tell you
No.
for sure now, it is definitely not easy to do. However, there were a couple things that were happening that were really interesting. One was, you know how it is when you're trying to stretch yourself to do something like this? You go through like little waves of it. Like for a period of time, you can achieve it, and then you kind of fall off the mountain, so to speak, and then you
right.
kind of push yourself to get back. Well, as I was doing that, I was getting instant response. I mean, I would focus deliberately. I was using the fact that I have right and left legs, and it's my left knee that was really giving me the issue. So I would focus on my right knee. And actually, it wasn't just my left knee, because if I walked or tried to walk, I couldn't walk. I was more like hobbling. But if I tried to hobble around on that left knee, it would also start to impact my hip and my ankle. And I was starting to feel the pain throughout. But on my right side, I was fine. So I did the thing where, okay, I'm going to focus on the right side, particularly on the right knee, and I'm going to pretend that my left feels just like the right. And when I succeed in holding that focus, the pain started to subside on the left side. And then as I started to lose that focus, the pain would increase on the left side. And it was within like a second or two each time. So
right.
something many of us have thought about, like, geez, wouldn't it be better if we just got the instant response? Because that way we could learn how to regulate it and so forth. I was getting the instant response. And let me tell you, it's not so easy to regulate even when you've got the instant response.
No, and you'll hear me say occasionally the phrase, hold the vision. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like training our mind. Like you just made a comment with words, something like that, like getting control of our thoughts, right? It's like training our mind to focus on that knee that's not hurting.
Yeah.
And when the other one is screaming at you, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's like focusing on the one child that's, you know, quietly trying to tell you something while the other child is screaming in your face. It's like kind of difficult. But that's amazing.
In fact, the last couple of days, including Saturday, we've had a number of different incidents that have really reinforced for me the whole concept of symptoms as a metaphor. So for instance, yesterday was it wasn't as crazy as some of the other days have been lately. Louise's gardening business is in the middle of the hottest part of the season. And by hottest, I mean the busiest and craziest, where, you know, all the nutty stuff happens. I mean, it's May in June, right? May and June are where, you know, you do your planting, you do your spring cleanups, you do all the stuff to make the gardens look good. And we've got, you know, all our customers wanting it right now, and, you know, it creates issues. Plus, we've had, you know, we have one person who had an injury at home, so she was like a key person. She can't be out doing the stuff that she normally does. And another person was unable to be with us for a week. She had to be away for a week. I mean, it was just like, you know, little things like that. So they all pile up, and oh my God, I mean, poor Louise was just practically tearing her hair out. And I was experiencing, I was working really hard on maintaining my positive aspect and trying to hold her in positive aspects so I could give her as much energy as I could. But it finally got to the point where we were both feeling the overwhelm of it, even though we'd mapped out a way to repair the situation, to manage it so that it doesn't affect us so adversely. But nevertheless, we built up all that momentum. And sure enough, last night I lost my balance. I mean, literally, I started experiencing vertigo just before bed. I could hardly even stand up. I was holding the wall up. You know, I had lost my balance. And that's what it felt like. We've been losing our balance. And sure enough, now I'm getting the symptom of it. I'm saying, okay, I understand now. I get it. Symptoms are a metaphor. I've experienced a number of them over this weekend. Now I'm really done with them. I don't want any more of those. I'm done. And
right. That's when you find yourself asking your body, okay, what is this? What are you telling me? Because you're right. Our body often speaks to us in metaphors.
And sometimes it speaks to us in 2x4s.
Yeah, I don't want one of those today or any day, actually.
No.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. Sometimes it's like, okay, so you're having to whack me over the head to get my attention. So let's remind people at this point in time that we would love it if they would head over to LOA.net and subscribe to our podcast.
Yes, LOAtoday.net, the homepage, is where you can subscribe. And people who have been subscribing do so mainly because most of the time, not so much today, but most of the time, we're talking about happy topics. We're talking about stuff that makes you feel good. Today isn't quite there, but we're going to get there. We're getting there pretty quick, and we're having fun with it. That's the main thing. But
well, here's the thing. You know, sometimes it feels good to recognize that you're not the only one that gets smacked with the 2x4. Seriously, you know, I remember listening to teachers and listening to teachings and feeling like, you know, people had all these other people that were talking about these things never had any challenges. And it's just not true. We're all finding our way together.
Oh, yeah.
And helping each other improve, like you said earlier, improve our experience. And you know what? If we never had challenges, we wouldn't be talking about how to improve our experience.
No, if we never had any challenges, we'd be dead.
Or we'd be in, you know, nirvana, right? Everything would be perfect. No, everything isn't. I mean, we have challenges, and that's what our show is all about, is finding how to meet them in a place where we can feel better and better and better. So we would love you to subscribe and share.
Yeah, the share buttons.
Call us and say hello. That would be great.
All that's right there. The share buttons, by the way, are munificent. I mean, there's like thousands of them there. So you will not be able to find or fail to find your favorite social media icon there, because I guarantee they're all there.
Oh, there are social media icons there I've never heard of. So
yeah,
definitely, yeah.
And seriously, the reason we ask people to subscribe is we find that our many subscribers love it. First of all, it's free, by the way. It doesn't cost you anything. And second of all, it's how you get all of our podcasts come directly to your smartphone, so that they're all right there. You don't have to go looking for them. Oh, I want to hear an LOA Today podcast, but I have to go look for it. No, it just comes right to your phone. So, I mean, you can even do like, you know, an entire day. You can do like a mashup of LOA Today, just play one after another. And that's what people do. We see it in the numbers. Average 30 to 45 downloads of episodes per month per listener. And that includes everybody, not just subscribers. So we know that people are subscribing, and we know that they're listening to a lot of episodes, and we know they're doing it to get their daily dose of happy. So that's why we're really inviting you. We want you to share in that same experience and kind of join the club, because as I keep saying over and over again, we've got the best listeners in the world, and that's why we want you too.
We do. And, you know, I was thinking about that idea of holding a vision. I do this for my clients. I do this for my friends and family, people that I care about, when I'm thinking about them. Like I told you, my son had put together a big festival. For the weeks leading up to it, whenever I would think about it, I would just really hold a vision of him having a big success, of the weather being perfect, of all the many multitude of people that were involved, you know, being able to show up and show up on time and do their part, and, you know, just all the things that would make it a success. And we do that with our audience. I often think about the listeners to our podcasts, and I imagine them having great successes in their life.
That's fantastic.
And so, and because I want to hear them calling us and telling us about their successes, right?
Ah, we got an ulterior motive here. Okay.
Of course. Well, it hit me one day. I was like, that would be great. Because we have had a few phone calls, and it's great to have our listeners call in and tell their own story and, you know, let us know how their life is going and the successes that they've had. And so I was thinking, well, that's the same thing I want with my clients, right? When a client calls me, I want them to be calling and sharing success with me. And so I hold them in that space of success. And I thought, well, in order for our podcast listeners to email us with a success story, to call us and tell us that they've had a great success, they have to have a success. So I need to want to be holding them in that space of success.
Very good. I like that. In fact, I'm gonna keep that in mind for tonight when I go to the book signing, and try to do the same thing with the people in the audience there. If nothing else, it'll help them to have more successes when they leave the event tonight. But maybe that'll also inspire some of them to share a story, which would be even better.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a win-win, right?
I think so, too.
So great. So, hey, Walt, you ready to broach this topic?
Yeah, we're in challenging mode. We're challenging ourselves on everything, and this is another example of how we're challenging ourselves.
We are working our way through the book Money and the Law of Attraction, Learning to Attract Wealth, Health, and Happiness by Esther and Jerry Hicks, The Teachings of Abraham. If you're in the paperback moving along with us, we're on page 119, and this book is divided into very short, sometimes just a page or so, kind of little subtopics within the sections. We're working on a section about physical well-being right now. Mm-hmm. And so today's little subtopic is Jerry asking the question, Could a baby's thoughts attract disease? And I think Walt and I were sort of groaning about it right before the show. Oh, no. this topic.
For me, it was just one more example of how my previous thought processes have been bringing all these challenges to me. And I'm asking myself, what's it going to take for me to decide to give up on challenges? I mean, just to let them go for a bit so I can enjoy some good life, because I keep drawing them in. And I know I'm doing it. I'm doing it partly through the podcast, because we've been dealing with some, you know, somewhat difficult topics lately. And I'm looking forward to the parts of the book where they aren't so challenging.
All right. So, Jerry, would you like to read Jerry's part, and I'll read Abraham's part?
Right. Jerry asks, how could a new baby attract a disease that it doesn't have a conscious awareness of yet?
It's really a great question.
It is, yeah.
Right. And the presupposition here is that this baby has attracted its disease. So,
right.
this is where I sort of sometimes start to part ways with Abraham, but I want to hear what he says anyway.
Sure.
He says, first, we want to state unequivocally that no one is creating your reality other than you. But it is important to realize that the you that you know as you did not begin as that small infant born to your mother. You are an eternal being, having lived many experiences, who came forth into this physical body from a long background of creating. That's really powerful.
It's also a good reminder.
Yeah, I do have a sense, and we may have talked about it before, but I know you have to have certain beliefs to be okay with this statement. But I've always thought that we knew what we were getting into when we chose to incarnate, and that we actually have contracts or sacred contracts with people that we'll be in this life together with. And so I know that's a stretch for some people to accept that or believe that. Do I know it's true? No, I just choose to believe it because it helps me make sense of things, actually.
Yeah, so it actually makes a lot less sense that we're just victims who are thrust in here into those lives, and we get to be victims throughout our lives until finally, you know, we die and the victimhood ends. I mean,
right, in the final glory of victimhood,
yeah.
We go out like this. All right.
I mean, if you really want to believe that, go right ahead, but I don't really see that you know that any more than we know the idea that we are eternal beings who have lived many experiences. And I prefer that vision anyway. It's one that feels better. So I'm going to go with the one that feels better.
Right. And also, you know, part of that belief system is that I don't believe we view challenges and pain and suffering quite the same viewpoint that we have once we're here, which is we don't want any of that. I believe that we came into the world knowing that we were going to experience a wide variety of things. And so let's see what Abraham continues to say.
Okay.
People often think that it would be a much better world if all newborn babies could be born meeting all of the standards of a perfect physical body. But that's not necessarily the intention of every being who comes forth into a physical body. There are many beings who, because the contrast creates an interesting effect that proves valuable in many other ways, deliberately intend to vary from what is, quote, normal, end quote. In other words, you just cannot assume that something has gone wrong when babies are born with differences. Imagine an athlete.
I want to stop there because that's an important, they brought up some important stuff there. The first important thing that they brought up is this idea of a perfect physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you if you were to ask 20 people or 100 people or 500 people what a perfect physical body is, you would get 20 or 100 or 500 different answers.
Well, I imagine that they're speaking of what we all do when a baby's born. We check to see if it has 10 fingers and 10 toes and two arms and two legs and two ears and, you know, is everything working?
Well, I know a lot of parents would do that, but I also know different people just think of perfection differently. Which to me points to just how flawed the concept of perfection is, because it's not universal. We treat it like it's universal very often, but it really isn't. The universality of it is actually very much in question. So that to me, it starts off with, and that's why they put the word perfect in quotes.
Right.
This whole idea of a perfect anything is a very questionable concept. And we actually, I think we set ourselves up once again for victimhood the moment that we start thinking in terms of perfection.
Oh, yes. And the moment that we start ever comparing ourselves to anything, right? Comparing our body to someone else's body, comparing our skill to someone else's skill. That's always just a recipe for disaster.
It is. I mean, because how do you ever win that one?
You don't.
And even the ones who have the perfect bodies, you know, we'll call them the Barbie dolls, right? Perfect bodies, perfect looks, perfect everything. Let me tell you, it's not so great being perfect like that. My niece, Michaela, is getting married in September, and she's looked like a Barbie doll for most of her life. And you know, she's gorgeous, and she's a lovely, wonderful human being. But she knows what it's like to be constantly hit upon. Mm. It's not all that fun.
Yeah.
And then to also be treated as if, well, you're just a Barbie doll. You know, you don't have a brain.
Yeah. No one wants to be treated like an object. That's certainly true.
So where's the perfection? The perfection just disappeared. There's no perfection in that.
Well, and here's the thing. This is another great example of someone who, when someone else is completely just focused on looks, then they can look at a person that has the looks they wish they had, that they think are, quote, perfect, and think all is right in that person's world.
Mm, oh, yeah.
Right? And it's the same with money. I mean, we're reading a book about money. So it's like, if I just had more money, everything would be fine. And yet we've seen in the past week some people that were very wealthy that ended their life. So apparently they didn't feel like everything was fine in their life.
True.
So it's like, but it's always that way. It's like, you know, those are just the challenges. And that thing that we focus on that's out of reach for us, that we think is out of reach, it's really never actually the answer.
It's
just where our focus is. And so you're right. Like the word perfect in this paragraph and the word normal are both in quotes.
Normal's the other one. That was going to be what I was just talking about. That normal, what is normal? I mean, if you look at it strictly speaking, the word normal means average. That's what normal is. It, from a mathematical perspective, the word normal means average. Mm-hmm. So if we translate it with the word average, then it says, there are many beings who, because the contrast creates an interesting effect that proves valuable in many other ways, deliberately intend to vary from what is average. Well, now that makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. Well, I love just this, you know, you cannot assume that something has gone wrong. And that's one of the things I feel like I'm a broken record about saying all the time, is that there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you, right? When people assume something's wrong with them because they're not a certain way. Okay, so I'm really curious about this.
Before you get into it, I just want to make one last comment. That's why I really like the way I've turned around the Abraham thing to make a more positive statement. You always get it right. I think that's
always get it right.
That's one of the most important concepts. I mean, this weekend, when my knee froze up and I was in pain, I was getting it right. Now, was it the kind of right I was really hoping for? Not really. But I wasn't getting it wrong.
It wasn't a pleasurable right. But
it wasn't pleasurable, no. But I was getting it right because I had a great opportunity and I did use it to learn to strengthen my ability to focus where I want to focus and not be distracted by what is.
One of the most powerful ideas that I've ever come in contact with that really did change my life was the idea that there are no mistakes. There's only human experience.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And to me, that's the same, right? It's like you never get it wrong. And I like your positive version. You're always getting it right.
Yeah.
There are no mistakes. You're always getting it right. I love it. So imagine, Abraham goes on, imagine an athlete who has become very good at playing tennis. People sitting courtside watching the match may assume that this player would be happiest always playing against an opponent with less skill whom she can easily beat. But the athlete may very well prefer exactly the opposite. She may prefer people who are at the top of their game, who draw forth from her focus and precision, and that has not been drawn before. And in like manner.
Sounds like Serena Williams.
I know, I was picturing her too. And in like manner, many who are at the top of their game in physical creating want opportunities to view life differently so that new options can be evoked and new experiences can be lived. And these beings also understand that there can be tremendous benefit to those others who are close by when something different from what is, quote, normal, end quote, is being experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I love this because it's so true. If you can be okay with the idea of many incarnations, that this isn't our first rodeo, that we do this over and over. It's a big presupposition for some people. I'm fine with it.
It's a big presupposition for me. I mean, we had my sister bought my wife and I a psychic reading one time, and I'm always a little bit skeptical, especially if I don't know who the person is, because I don't know, maybe they're trying to pull the wool over my eyes on something. But this one woman gave us this reading, and one of the things she said is that the two of us have both lived over 1,000 lifetimes. And I said, boy, am I tired.
Oh man, I need to go take a nap. Well, I think it's really interesting though, this idea. I mean, I can be on board with this idea that when we're at the top of our game, sometimes the challenge is exactly what we want.
This is true.
So people often incorrectly assume that since the baby cannot speak, it could not be creating its own reality, but that is not the case. Even those who do have language are not creating through words, but through thoughts. Your babies are thinking when they're born. And before they're born, they are vibrationally aware. Their vibrational frequencies are immediately affected by the vibrations that surround them in their birth environment. But there is no need to worry about them, for they, like you, were born with a guidance system to help them to discern the difference between the offering of beneficial thoughts and the disallowing of well-being thoughts.
Very
I like that
stuff.
Distinction.
Yeah.
Discern the difference between the offering of beneficial thoughts and the disallowing of well-being thoughts. The disallowing of well-being thoughts.
It makes me wonder, what are they trying to convey there? There are a lot of ways you can read that. I mean, for instance, I could understand that as somebody who is experiencing disease is disallowing well-being thoughts. Okay. But I could also interpret that as someone is deliberately choosing thoughts that are not well-being thoughts. Like, they don't want to have well-being. I'm thinking, whoa. I don't know if I can handle that one. And yet, as I look around at the world at large, not just babies, just anybody in general, how often do I see that? Every day.
Right.
I see it everywhere, every single day. So can I deny that it's prevalent? No, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. If you have any doubts about that, just look at the news. Don't look real long. It's not good for you. But just look at the news. I mean, it's all about not well-being thoughts.
Well, you're right about that. You don't have to look long to find the contrast in the news right now. And
that's just one area. I mean, look how many people are in psychotherapy because of all the disallowing thoughts that they continue to have. And they basically paint themselves into corners and get themselves into unhealthy relationships and unhealthy behaviors. And now they have to figure out how to climb their way out of it. So they're in therapy. I mean,
I think this is interesting.
Huge numbers of people.
When you talk about disallowing of well-being, there's this idea that well-being is always there.
Yeah.
It's not that we can't find it. It's there. It's just that we're disallowing it. And so there's always a flow of well-being. And that's what we're doing with all of these kind of ideas and tools that we use, and it's to be able to tap into that flow of well-being and not disallow it. because it is there.
It is there at all times, which is, it that is to me is reassuring. The fact that it's always there, that's a reassuring thing, because now I know where I can get back to every time that I'm not in a good place. I mean, it wasn't easy to remember that over the weekend. In fact, there were large portions of the weekend where I did not remember it. But on those occasions where I remembered that well-being is always there, that did help. That's actually one of the methods I used to focus on what it is that I wanted and take my mind off of what is that chronic pain I was dealing with.
Yeah. Well, there's that idea that pain is just sensation, and we get to choose how we experience a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to say that when you're not feeling pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, comes, it's like, oh, yeah.
I didn't tell the rest of the story, I just realized, because I was experiencing the pain and I was focusing and I was, you know, trying to get myself onto the positive track and so forth. And at one point, the pain became really excruciating. My wife was actually trying to help, and no blame on her at all, but she was doing something that was actually making it worse, and the pain just kind of, you know, soared for a moment there. And all I could think was, I either have inflammation and I need to ice my knee, or I need to apply heat. I don't know which. And I actually voiced that. And instantly my wife just walked out of the room, went into the kitchen, got some ice, put it into a plastic bag, brought it in, I put it on my knee. And an hour later, the pain was dramatically lower. And I said, oh, I guess it was icing.
So what were the two things you were choosing before? You said, I either have inflammation that I need to ice my knee, or what, put heat on it?
Or to heat it, one or the other. I didn't know which it was, because I couldn't really sense inflammation. I mean, I couldn't see a big difference between the knees, and I couldn't really, you know, I pressed my fingers into the tissues and there wasn't a whole lot of difference. So I was saying, could that really be inflammation? It didn't seem like it. So that's why I wasn't sure. Did I need heat or did I need ice? I knew I needed one or the other. So my wife picked ice, and that turned out to be the right answer, because icing the knee made the pain almost completely go away within an hour or two.
Ice is like a miracle cure sometimes.
But what was the real miracle cure was me understanding that it was my change of mind that was making the difference.
That allowed the information to come.
And it started with thoughts of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the key thing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt what you're saying, but I wanted to finish that point, because that's it right there. I managed, in the midst of that pain, to focus on well-being. While getting that focus of well-being, I managed to get an idea that came to me, that was fed to me, I'm presuming, by my inner being. You know, it's either ice or heat. Which is it? We tried ice, and it worked.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because it just hit me. I've said this before. You know, I told you I worked for an office of two naturopathic doctors. I have a long history of studying holistic healing and nutritional healing. And so, I mean, I have people that will call me and say, you know, this is what's going on. You know, Dr. Cindy, I always say I'm not a doctor, but you know, I have a lot of knowledge just from experience. And so I usually right at the tip of my, you know, fingertips, right at the tip of my brain, I'm like, oh yeah, this is what you do. Do this, try this. This will be good, until it's me.
Yes.
And then I'm just like blank. I'm like, why can't I remember these things? One time I said, I need to write them all down in a book, just common fixes for that help common things, because when it's me, I just can't even think of it. But I think that's why.
Mm.
And that's interesting that as soon as you began to focus on well-being and thoughts of well-being, some answers came that were useful and helpful.
And it took some concentration to do it.
Yeah.
It took a number of trials and failures, and, you know, not getting it right the first time, not getting right the second time. Even I certainly was not remembering that I always get it right. That was not at all in my mind. It was as far from my mind as it could possibly be. But I kept trying, persisting. You know, persistence often will just be a way to break through. And that's what I was doing. I just kept persisting. Like, I'm going to keep focusing on my left knee feeling like my right knee. I'm just going to do that. And I could feel myself, I described this earlier, I could feel myself waxing and waning. I, you know, for a moment, I would really be imagining that my left knee felt like my right knee, and the pain would recede. And then I'd lose the focus and the pain would come back. And it was actually an opportunity to practice, okay, I know I can just sense each time when I kind of lost my focus, and sure enough, the pain came back. This is like instant feedback, so I can use this for a bit and use it to train myself to keep focusing on what I want, Because the more that I know that the more I do that, the better my ability to focus becomes. And that's really the key. We're trying to learn, all of us, we're trying to learn to focus as much as we want to focus, as often as we want to focus, for the duration we want to focus.
Sure, because every challenge is an opportunity.
Yes.
And for us that are conscious about creating, using law of attraction, using the knowledge of the law of attraction, that's, to me, the importance of looking at it that way. It's always a chance to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Every challenge that comes our way is an opportunity to improve our practice, because it is a practice. It's something that you have to continually work on.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there's also the thing we've talked about earlier in the week is that's been important for me to remember, is that what's happening, what's manifesting in my body as pain, as illness, as, you know, I'm making air quotes, but something wrong, you know, the things we don't want to manifest that right. We experience in our physical body. So anything that falls under this category of well-being or disallowing well-being, that it's also connected to complaining and yes. To other thoughts we have that aren't connected to body. It's not that we're complaining about our headache or complaining about an illness. It's that we're complaining about other things that are going on, which there's been, I have to say, in the past couple of years with the world politics, the way they're going, and especially our own politics here in the States, I'm raising my hand. I know I've done more complaining than I did previously. Right. And so it's like you were talking about, yeah, don't watch the news for too long. It's not good for you.
No.
Well, I mean, indirectly, it seems indirectly, but it may be more direct than we think, that watching the news and hearing about things that are, you know, painful and discouraging begin to have an effect on our physical body.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not advocating that we bury our head in the sand and look the other way. Because, you know, I'm an activist, and so I don't have that viewpoint that I'm just not going to pay attention, because that feels worse for me. What feels better is to pay attention to what's going on and then be useful and then find ways to focus on making things better.
I love what you just said. You said it feels better for me to focus on what things are going on and making them better. And the reason I like that is, for me, it's the opposite. I feel better when I don't focus on that stuff. I focus better when I, in the words of some, bury my head in the sand. In fact, I'm in favor of burying my head in the sand, because I always feel better that way. It's the feeling better part that's the key thing.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
But like I had someone recently talk about being, you know, they talked about a cause that's important to them, and that they were a warrior for that cause. And I just made the comment, like, I understand what you're saying, and I know that all of your hard work is going to make a difference in the world. And I always want to be careful with my I am statements. And if I declare that I'm a warrior, then I'm going to perpetually be involved in some kind of war. And I don't want that. So I want to put my focus on, I want to be pro-peace and not anti-war. See the difference?
Oh, it's very like big.
The two sides of the coin. So I get it. And I get that when we rise out of victimhood, the first place we come to is conflict. Mm. You know, it's that I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And that's actually a better feeling place than I'm down here in the dumps and people are beating me with a 2x4, right? It's like, it's a better feeling place.
It's an
improvement. So it's not wrong to move into that place, but we can keep moving into an even better feeling place where we take more responsibility and where we become a champion for something instead of a warrior against something else, where we can promote something that's good instead of always having to be against something that we view as bad.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but I think it's important if we want to make sure that we're in a place where all of our focus on these things that are happening don't start affecting our well-being of our own physical body. Mm-hmm. So Abraham, in the sections we were in the last week or so, the last couple of weeks, mentioned several times that you don't have to be complaining about your illness or your pain. You can just be complaining about, they even said, even complaining about how much someone else complains will start to affect and show up in your physical body.
It does. It really does.
But it's the thing, I think I forget about that. I forget. I think, oh, you know, this pain in my body, where did this come from? Well, maybe you've been complaining a lot about whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not about a world leader who I will keep nameless.
Why don't I naming him? I'll tell you, the perspective I've gotten, and we're back to politics and news, so I'll use that as a good example, because it really is. My perspective used to be, I was politically libertarian, and so I was against everything. And I know what that's like. I know what it feels like to be in that position, and it's not a happy place to be in. It's a very unhappy place. I have since come to realize that all that stuff does not need my attention in order to change. It's a really interesting thing.
Interesting thing. You said against everything.
I was against everything. Yeah.
So at that point in time, you know, looking back, can you recognize a connection between your physical well-being and those ideas?
I don't know if I can. I mean, if you're tying it to like my knee and so forth, I'm not sure I can draw that connection.
Well, I'm going back further, like not a recent thing, but I'm just curious. I'm like, I'm looking back and thinking about myself. It's like, because I had a serious health crisis about 20 years ago, and I'm saying to myself, was I in a place where I was against everything? You know,
it manifested for me? It wasn't so much a physical thing. It was financial.
Hmm. Well, and finances, we all know, have something to do with well-being.
As we know, because we're talking about money and the law of attraction. Right. And we're focusing on the section of the book about well-being. So
right. It's all tied up together. We can't
separate. It really is. Yeah.
All wrapped up together.
Yeah. But that's the thing that I've been learning. I mean, even with Mr. Diplomacy in the presidency, none of that matters, it turns out. Except when I pay attention and make it matter. As long as I don't make it matter, it doesn't matter. It takes care of itself. It actually ends up not affecting my life just because I choose not to let it affect my life. And that sounds so strange. That sounds like the argument for burying your head in the sand. And you know what? I happily embrace that. Of course it's burying my head in the sand, because I think burying my head in the sand is a whole lot better than basically traumatizing myself. Because the traumatizing myself doesn't make, you know, Mr. Diplomacy go away. It hasn't worked. You know, there are a whole lot of people who are trying to make Mr. Diplomacy go away, and he's not going away, and he's not going to go away.
There are a whole lot of us that are traumatized by
You're traumatizing yourselves like crazy. You know, it's like, well, you know what? And my wife was brilliant about this. When he first got elected, the very first day, election day, when it was announced that he had won the election, her first reaction was, you know, if people want him to go away, they should stop paying attention to him. They should stop responding to his tweets. They should stop writing about him, because that person in particular thrives on all the negative attention. Stop giving him the negative attention.
We know that what we resist persists.
It was especially with him. I mean, he absolutely lives for it.
Well, we have covered a lot of ground today.
We have. I mean, it's kind of sad we've run out of time, but we're going to have plenty more time to do it tomorrow. So let's do it tomorrow, if that's okay with you.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, then I will be back as well. And we hope you'll join us too here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.